If I believe the administration of the laws cruel and wrong, is it not a sin for me to support the government by vote or by paying taxes? Answer. All individual opinion should, under all circumstances, be sacrificed for general good. Whenever and wherever the good of the masses is involved, individual opinion should be sacrificed. Though this government is not the highest form of government that the soul is capable of conceiving, yet it is the very best kind of government that the times can give birth to. It belongs to this age, it is the result of the growth of mind, mind in the present and mind in the past, and it holds, also, a divine relationship to mind in the future. As it is fitted to the wants of the present, as it answers the requirements of the masses, then surely individual opinion concerning it should have little weight. By D. Starking, October 3, 1867. Question. Are there any persons that are more mediumistic when under the influence of liquor than at any other time? Answer. We are informed by those intelligences who have made the science of mediumship a study, that there are some mediums who are more readily brought under the influence of a certain class of spirits, disembodied, when under the influence of liquor. Question. How does the use of liquor make one more mediumistic? Answer. Under certain circumstances it reduces the power of the body over the spirit, or, in other words, it lessens the control of the indwelling spirit upon the external body, and therefore renders the body an easy prey to some other spirit who is more positive. Question. Can you tell us why sometimes a medium who visits another cannot get any communication? Answer. Because two negatives have met, and, therefore, the law cannot act. Two positives, when meeting, are apartment to gain no response one from the other. Spirit manifestations are governed by electric and magnetic laws, subtle forces underlying the external. Physical forces are very powerful. They are, indeed, the law, and whoso would receive their aid, must come into communion and assimilation with them. It is very rare that one medium can gain satisfactory communication from the departed through any other, except in such instances as where the medium used by the communicating spirit is, of the two, the most powerful, but where they both stand upon the same mediumistic plane of mind and body, it is very hard for the spirit to commune with the one who desires communion. Question. Do spirits measure time as we do? Answer. No, they do not. There is no time nor place in the spirit world proper. If they measure time at all, it is according to your understanding of time. It is in accordance with the rules of earth, the rules of these external forms, not with the internal, the spirit. Question. Is spirit the product of matter, or matter of spirit, or are both eternal? Answer. Your speaker believes they are both eternal. There are certain intelligences who contend that matter is the result of spirit, and certain others who contend that spirit is the result of matter. I believe that you cannot well separate spirit from matter. I believe that spirit acts upon matter, matter chances its forms to satisfy the requirements of spirit. The mechanic must first have the idea, or the thought of the article he wishes to construct, ere it comes into the objective world. Here you see spirit behind the form, and so I believe it ever is. But as spirit is dependent, for its mode of manifestation, upon matter, so matter is dependent for its existence upon spirit. The two act in concert together. One would be 52 a non-entity without the other. This world and the world of mind are wedded together. These forms and their indwelling life are wedded together. Mind and matter go hand in hand throughout eternity, I believe. Question. Matter is transmuted from one form of being to another. Is it equally true of spirit? Is animal life transmuted into human, human into angelic, and thus back again into human? Answer. The spirit or essence of life, we believe, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In essence it never changes. It always was perfect, is, and always will be perfect. It is only the external that changes. I may influence the dog or the horse, he may obey my will, and to that extent he may become my medium or subject through which my spirit manifests, precisely similar to that which is seen through the physical form. Indeed, the spirit has all forms by which it manifests itself to the external world. The mechanic manifests his life in constructing these objects, table, and sea. The artist, when he pictures his thoughts, places his life there. The astronomer, when he searches out worlds, throws his life there. The geologist, when he enters in thought down deep into the heart of the earth, throws his life there. Soul goes everywhere. Soul has dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air, over all things that ever have been, are, or ever will be. All things become mediums through which the soul manifests. You mistake when you suppose that these physical forms are the only machines through which the soul, the intelligent part, manifests itself. Look abroad throughout the universe, and you will see that you are mistaken. Mind is exerted everywhere, and you cannot exert your mind upon any one object, or in any one direction, without throwing your life there, and that life has become incorporated into the object. The artist manifests through his glorious landscape, the sculptor through the grand form of marble, which seems as though it would speak. His life is there, though the marble utters no sound, though it gives back not even a sigh to your admiration, still the artist's life is there. If you will only search into this glorious science of life, you will behold for a certainty that mind is acting everywhere, not only through these forms, but through every conceivable form that has an existence. By Hosi Ballou, October 8, 1867. Question. As human souls unfold in spirit life, will they also pass farther away from our earth? If so, will the memory of having lived upon the earth finally become obliterated from their minds? Answer. The soul is not bound to any special locality. It exists independent of locality. It is not at all necessary that the soul should pass away from the earth and its conditions after it rises from a state of ignorance to a state of wisdom, or from unhappiness to happiness, for there are quite as many souls in the kingdom of wisdom on the earth as anywhere else, and quite as many souls in the kingdom of heaven even, here upon earth, as in the farthest condition of human existence that you are able to conceive of. The soul is not governed by localities, or by the conditions of time. It is of itself a thing eternal. It belongs to eternity, and progresses according to the laws of eternal life. Question. Was there ever a period in the history of man when his soul was not an immortal entity? Answer. The soul we believe to be coexistent with God, and therefore eternal. We believe it ever had an existence. As a distinct entity, and we believe it will ever continue to have an existence, but that it will perpetually change its form of manifestations, so that while you recognize it by its external expressions, you will be apartment to consider that it has changed states, has lost its priority, but it is not so. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. By William E. Channing, October 10, 1867. Question. If astrology and prophecy be true, so that future events can be foretold, does it not teach foreordination, and that we are not wholly responsible for our acts? Answer. There are different kinds of responsibility, as many different kinds as there are souls to be responsible. That a great eternal law runs through all the events of life, I believe. I believe, also, that it determines concerning all the events of life, and that, whether we will or no, it will shape our destiny, whether we will or no, we are carried on by this great tide of being, which we cannot successfully go against. I believe that every human soul, as an intelligence, possesses each its distinctive quality of responsibility. Just so far as that soul understands what right is, just so far that soul is responsible to that law of right. And whoso sins against it, sins against what may properly be termed the Holy Ghost, for I know of nothing holier than the divine law which makes us conscious of right. Question. One says, in the banner of light, that the spirit, the intelligent part, the motive power, does not dwell within the body. Now I had supposed that the spiritual body dwelt within the material body, and separated from it at death, and became the immortal form of the inner spirit. Will you explain this point? Answer. No, it does not dwell within the body, anymore. Then the performer on the musical instrument dwells within the instrument. It is outside of the body, but adapted to it so far as it is in rapport with the body. So far as there is disease, the spirit is not present in full action, has lost its control precisely upon the same principle that a musical performer would lose control of the instrument when one of the keys was out of order. People who believe that the spirit dwells within the body will have to unlearn their mistake sooner or later. Question. When you control the medium, do you enter her form, or come in rapport with the physical aura of her system? Answer. No, I surround it, I enclose it within my spiritual embrace. I act upon it precisely as she, in her normal condition, acts upon it. The divinity of Christ. Our attention has been called to an article which appeared in your last issue. Footnote to this. Referring to an article signed AO Justice, printed in the AO Banner of Light the second week in October, in which the writer criticizes the answer given by the spirit of Reverend Dr. Channing to a minister of the gospel on the same subject. End footnote. Go on in text. It seems to be in part a criticism upon an article which appeared some time since concerning the birth of Jesus the Christ, and, in part, it seems to be the opinion of the writer, founded upon certain mythological and theological researches. In his opinion, Jesus the Christ did have a miraculous birth and conception. In his opinion, the Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, the great God principle, and as a result of the overshadowing, Jesus the Christ was born. He believes also that his birth was foretold long before the event took place, and he cites, as one of his greatest reasons for believing in the miraculous conception of Jesus Christ, the appearing of the Star of Bethlehem, and he informs us that the star disappeared when Jesus disappeared in form from earth, that it appeared only for the short space of his lifetime, and then went away, having performed its princely mission. It is impossible to give an elaborate answer to the article in the short space of time allotted to us on this occasion. But we can throw out a few hints, which, if they do not serve him well, may serve somebody else. Standing, then, upon what he deems to be the most conclusive evidence of the miraculous conception of Jesus the Christ, we have only to look the world through, to scan the history of all nations, all the different tribes that have existed on the face of the earth since intelligence had a being, and we shall learn that every nation under heaven, every distinct tribe that had any idea of religion, has a similar tradition. Let us look, for instance, at the Chinese records, the oldest upon the earth. There we find a passage, when translated, running thus, "And a star appeared in the east, showing to the Magi where the king reposed, and its beams did lead his earthly life, and enter his celestial life, showing to us that he was born of the star, and destined to be king over the people of the celestial empire." Now this tradition dates far, far back in the past, and this is only one account of the many which we have in mind. Indeed, as we have before affirmed, every tribe that lays claim to religious intelligence has the same tradition. How then has the Christian world any more right to it than any other? We cannot see that they have. We look upon it as simply a tradition that belongs to all ages, and we believe that it has its origin in the worship of the heavenly bodies. It could have originated nowhere else. The writer of the article seems to be impressed with the idea that modern spiritualism is the exhibition of Antichrist, and that it is to the second coming of Christ what John the Baptist was to his first appearing. He seems to believe, if we have rightly understood him, that Jesus the Christ at his second appearing is to set apart his kingdom on the earth, and is to reign supreme over all the nations of the earth. He believes that he will be acknowledged, that he will assert his power, and he seems to believe that he will be attended by all the paraphernalia of heathen mythology, by the glory of life, or, as he says, by a glory so far exceeding human sense that human senses cannot understand it. Now to us there is clear evidence that he has mixed up within his reasoning faculties certain portions of heathen mythology and Christian theology, and has so woven the two together that he himself cannot distinguish between them. He has erected an altar, partly real and substantial, or spiritual and substantial, and partly from a belief in the ignorance of past ages. He goes on to prove that Christ was an exception to all other forms on the earth, by citing what the record tells us the angel said to Mary. Well, there are as many different constructions put upon these words which the record gives us as there are minds to think upon them. No two, even in theology, determine exactly alike concerning them. Again, the writer says, if he was not unlike all other forms, if he was not wholly different in a special sense, why is it that he could control the winds and the waves? Why could he perform such healing works, when no one else has been able to do the same? Here we shall take exception. So far as the healing is concerned, there are persons north and south, east and west, who, under proper conditions, are able to do the same that he did, and even more, for he says himself, I cannot work wonders here, because of your unbelief. I cannot cure your sick here, because you do not believe in me or my works. Modern healers go farther than that, they set aside your unbelief, and in many instances cure you, whether you believe or no. Now, as regards the walking upon the water, which he cites as evidence of his divinity, you may as well call the Davenport brothers especially divine because their guardian spirits took them over the water and they were not drowned. There is positive evidence that this was done. You may as well declare that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were specially divine because they came out of the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated, without the smell of fire upon them. It is well to look religion fairly in the face, as well as everything else. It is not well to stand too far from it, because if you do you are apartment to lose its reality. It is not well to stand apart from our God and endeavor to analyze him. If we would know him, we must come into distinctive rapport with him. The position which we held in the article which has been so severely criticized, we still hold, because we know it is absolutely of good foundation. We do not believe in a God outside and apart from nature. We believe in a God that is in humanity. We believe in a God that makes all things divine. We believe in a God that hallows the flowers as he hallows our souls, and we most fervently pray that we may never so far forget ourselves as to believe in a God who would bestow special favors upon any one of his children more than upon the whole. This was at page 59. In conclusion, we would say, if the writer of the article has any more thoughts to throw out upon the ocean of intelligence, if we are able to cope with them we shall gladly do so. By Theodore Parker, October 13, 1867. Question. Can you give us an idea of the language in use in Spirit Land? We have an impression that you have neither speech nor laughter, as known to us, that all thought, from grave to gay, from lively to severe, is understood rather than expressed. Answer. If there were no expression there would be no external, there would be no individualization, there would be no form, but everywhere one vast void, which to the soul would be meaningless. But, thanks be to the great, wise master mechanic, form is carried into the spirit world. Outward expressions are seen and felt and heard even there. There is music in the land of souls, so far beyond the music of earth's spheres, that were you this hour to be translated there, you would scarcely comprehend it. And if you had any devotion within your inner life, you would be very likely to fall down and worship the God of music. Oh, yes, there is sound, sight, and feeling in the land of souls. It is not a mere world of imagination, a something devoid of beauty, a great chaos, with neither form nor fashion. No. It is more beautiful than this earthly sphere of action, having forms and various conditions of being. Question. If there is no disease in spirit land, and all are physically perfect, why is a medical science there? What the motive for its pursuit where there is no object for its exercise? Answer. There is disease in the spirit land, for there are quite as many mental ailments as there are physical ailments. Every kind of sorrow is a disease, and souls experience the keenest sorrow in spirit land. It is far more acute than that you take cognizance of here in this world. There is quite as much need of soul physicians as of physicians to take charge of the human body. And it would be well for those medical men whose business it is to restore diseased physical forms to health, to carry their science a little farther, and seek to become physicians of the soul, that they may carry their practice into the spirit land, and be of use when they shall enter the question. If our spirit friends are with us in earth life, and are acquainted with our surroundings, why is it that they do not control those surroundings for our good? And why is it that we are not conscious of their presence? Your inquirer has long prayed for some manifestation of their presence, but without success. Answer. It does not follow that because they may understand the surroundings of those with whom they come in contact in the earth life, that they should be always able to control those surroundings, nor does it follow that they would always wish to. It should be understood that each soul has duties of its own to perform. You may as well ask why a certain merchant on Washington Street, or any of them, do not leave their own business to interest themselves in the business of some other merchant, because, forsooth, they know of the business affairs of that merchant, and know, perhaps, that he is in trouble? Simply because duty to self is not only the first law of earth, but of heaven, and, because it is, every spirit should depend upon its own internal and external sources for happiness, for what it desires. That comes from the external, from another, is rarely appreciated by the spirit, but that which is out from its own life, or gathered from the external by the earnest workings of its own inner life, is always best adapted to the needs of the spirit. Therefore it is that those millions of sympathizing spirits who have passed through death, though they may be in the fullness of sympathy with their suffering friends, yet you may hear no sound from them. They may be, as it were, shut out from their consciousness, having no interference with your earthly affairs, because it is better that it is so. It is better, perhaps, that they let you work out your own salvation, though it be with fear and trembling. Question. The followers of Anne Lee believe she was inspired, and uttered many things which they say were communicated to her from the spirit world. Were those influences from the spirit world, or was she under the influence of liquor at the time, as many suppose? They believe, too, that their peculiar manner of life and mode of worship came from the spirit land, through the mediumship of some of her followers. Is that so? And, if the system is what they believe it to be, why do they not increase as other sects do? Answer. I believe that the founder of Shakerism was a very superior medium, and under the special direction of a class of disembodied spirits, not ardent spirits, but souls, who once lived in forms of flesh. There are not many who desire to leave the pleasures of the world to enter a society which eschews many of the so-called evils of the world. Therefore it is that there is not a large increase among them, nor would it be well for them to increase largely. They are acted upon, I believe, by a spirit band in the land of souls, and are acted upon to this end, that they may throw out a certain magnetic influence that the world's people have need of. They are what they are, more for the benefit of the world's people than for their own benefit, though they know it not. They are laboring magnetically, or the spirits through them, for the world entire, not for themselves. By Joseph Löwenthal, October 15, 1867. Question. Do the spirit intelligences who control at this circle approve of the Massachusetts prohibitory liquor law, or otherwise? Answer. Restraint, when guided by wisdom and love, is of good. But when it is guided by ignorance, and love is wanting, then it is a partment to lead to destruction, and the very end that is sought for is never reached. I believe that there are many spirits who visit this place who are in favor of the Massachusetts prohibitory liquor law. There are also many others who are against it, and who seem to use all the power of which they are possessed to throw obstacles in the way of its success. For be it understood, the inhabitants of the world that is unseen do very often come into close, very close, rapport with those who are still clothed with the flesh, and exercise a very large amount of power over those who are in the flesh, and over the conditions of time. That class of spirits who favor the so-called license law, are those who believe that this generation, and particularly the class of mind that finds expression upon this continent, this republican people, they believe will be better governed by moral suasion, better governed by erecting for them a certain standard which they themselves subscribe to, rear for them an altar which they are willing to recognize and worship at. Then, say these intelligences beyond the grave, the end sought for by both parties will at last be reached. Your speaker has no opinion to offer, save that he believes that as God is walking through the nations, he himself will finally purge you from all the so-called evils that float in social life. Question. I would like to ask if a large number of those who are among us addicted to the inordinate use of alcohol, are not, to a great extent, influenced by those in the other world who have not yet been able to rid themselves of the habits and appetites they possessed here, and if so, whether it is not possible to reach the parties suffering, rather by calling back the spirit of one in the spirit body and treating him through a medium or otherwise, so as to deliver him from the condition from which he has been suffering? We wish to ascertain your opinion as to the possibility of ridding ourselves and others of those habits, which are diseases, and equally of other physical diseases in that way. Answer. A certain amount, I may say a very large amount, of all diseases, either physical, or mental, or moral, are augmented by the interference of foreign spirits. Therefore, if you would gather in their causes entire, so far as you are able to, you must gather such in also. If you would rid the little branches of disease, you must commence at the root. Then you will commence right. But generally it is the habit of mortals to deal heavy blows at all evil effects, failing to touch the cause, so the effect is fought against and fought against, and it continually rears its head like a monster in your midst, over which you seem to have no control. Sometimes mental, physical, and moral diseases have their source entirely within the human physique, and no outside interference can be traced. But those are the exceptions, not the rule. When you understand the laws governing through all the minutiae of life, you will know how to live in health. Disease will depart from you, and a heaven upon earth will have begun. By William E. Channing, October 17, 1867. Question. Does the fact of one's having committed suicide impede his progress in the spirit world more than if another had killed him, or render him more unhappy? Answer. Yes, because the soul that has committed suicide, as you term it, is very apartment to learn that that is not the better way, very apartment to learn that it must, through severe experience, learn of the better way, and very apartment to learn that it would have been far easier to have gained the experience that was necessary for the soul in and through its own body, than in any other way. Therefore it must, of necessity, drink more or less deeply of the cup of remorse. But, like all other mistakes in life, it always carries its own antidote. When a sufficient quantity has been ministered unto the spirit, it comes forth washed clean, regenerated and rejuvenated, and ready for the march of life. Question. How do we reconcile the existence of evil in this world with the goodness and wisdom of God? Answer. We reconcile it in this way. As God is everywhere, and as there is no place without him, no condition without him, so then God is in what you call evil, and, being stronger than the evil, is amply able to take care of it. I believe that all the experiences of life, all the conditions of life, however low they may seem to be, are of a necessity growing out of the condition of the earth upon which you exist, a necessity growing out of the condition of the planets by which you are surrounded, and a necessity growing out of your own internal and external condition. Therefore, if this position be a correct one, the goodness of God is displayed in the exhibition of the so-called evil, as it is displayed in any other condition in life.